Hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Relatively Normal Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Payzant. As always, it is my pleasure to have you listening to the show, sharing the show. If you could just like and subscribe, share it on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, wherever you share your shows, from Spotify, from Apple Podcasts, from Google Podcasts, anywhere that you are listening, I appreciate you. We have a great show for you today, but as always, this show is brought to you by 6AM Run and 6amrun.com. Head over to that website to sign up to get 20% off of your first order, and remember to download the 6AM Running app just to hang out with some of the greatest runners and fitness enthusiasts on the planet. So we have Manny Baines. We're going to have it's a unique show. I got to say, it's a unique show. I haven't spoken to someone like him before, but he reached out and I'm like, you know what? Let's do it. I'm looking forward to it. So Manny, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Why don't you go and introduce yourself for our audience?
Thank you so much, Mark. It's an honor, pleasure, and absolute privilege to be here with you today. Hello, everyone. My name is Manny Baines. I am a two-time award-winning author and film director. I'm the author of this book, Switched, Working on Living with Monthly Cash Flow. I'm also the author of the book, Master Your Universe, 11 Universal Rules for Success. I'm also the author of the new book, Attract Money Faster, 8 Ways to Manifest More Money into Your Life. I'm a film director from Toronto, and I founded a company called the Rising Star Movie Experience, where we create high-quality cinematic documentary films to create social change on a global scale and to brand entrepreneurs through the power of film so we can get their message in front of thousands of people.
And that's one of the things that I found so fascinating, because even in the video bio you have, you've kind of talked about, like, what can you do? You can write a book, of course. You can put out articles. You can do these things where they could have an impact. They may have a minimum impact, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done on the back end for people to go out and buy the book and actually, read through it, to market all that stuff. But you had this idea to give people the platform that a lot of people don't always have, and that's to be in their own documentary. Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, that's a great idea. And like you said, you can write a book, do podcasts, everything. I just feel like film is a powerful medium. That's a great question. Yeah. So like you said, I've written all these books, and I got into the entrepreneurial world of personal growth and coaching and helping people, and it started being around people, and everybody's writing books. So I said, okay, I'll write a book. And, from there, I was brainstorming with one of my business partners at the time and said, well, how else can we get this message out to people? And we just thought about it, and we just go, why don't we just make a documentary film and go to masses are more likely to watch a video than read. The high achievers, we read. Yeah, I'm sure you read, Mark. But the masses are more likely to watch videos. So we say, okay, let's put the message into a documentary film. We can visually make it more appealing. We can, people can see you, as opposed to reading words. So we decided to make a film. And then when it came out, it was called Break Free. I was teaching Canadians how to take a different path for their finances and studying what wealthy people did with their money. And just when we put it out, I was just like, wow, this is so powerful. I want to be able to do this for entrepreneurs so they can get their message out to the world and have themselves seen in a new light and a powerful light. Because, the power of video is just amazing. And when it's done professionally, high quality, it just makes you look good and makes your message stand out in a powerful, impactful way. And how many people have their own film? It's just such an amazing thing, and an honor and a pleasure and a privilege to do this for people every single day.
That's what it seems. I mean, it sounds amazing. And what is I'm sure people want to know what the process is like, because, we're talking about, a space where people have to come into a studio, I presume, and you're there helping them out. But what does the process look like from the moment someone decides to do this to when their film is actually produced?
Yeah, I mean, so somebody can come in and do their own film. And that process is interesting, because there's a lot of planning and stuff. And so first we do a storyboard of what do you have to share with the world, okay? I feel like everybody has a movie in them, like everybody has a book in them. Everybody has something they can share, I feel. And so it's like, okay, you have your story. What is it? Okay, how can we put it into a powerful, impactful way? So we start brainstorming, right? And then we say, okay, well, if you have your own film, you never see films with just one character, right? There's always supporting characters. So who are the supporting characters, experts, other people that can come in to support your message? So we look at that. And then we also look at, okay, what other locations we can do. So it's a bit of a brainstorming session. And then they come in and we just film. Our approach has been kind of different. We kind of freestyle shoot and then put it together after. We should really do more planning, but I find it's kind of that where it's not as planned sometimes can come out for a more authentic feel on camera. Like for our film Fear, Face Everything and Rise, one of the both of actually the supporting characters didn't know they were going to be in it. We just said, hey, they just wanted to interview you, and they had no idea they were going to be in a film, and it was like in a couple takes. But had I said you're in a film, maybe that would have prompted a different response. It would have been nervous. It would have tried to put on a different persona. So it's things like that. But Mark, for the films I'm doing now, I'm doing co-creation type films whereby I do films on a certain topic and then get experts from that field all to speak on a certain topic. And for that, it's you know, I have people flying from US, Canada, Europe, and we just use them for 4 hours and just download all of their wisdom on film. But they have to be coached because you're an expert, but as soon as the camera's on you, we just have this thing that we want to freeze or play. Part of a director is having to coach them through that, to be honest. That's always a challenge.
Yeah, I know that feeling because I feel that sometimes on the podcast level, because I'll speak to people or I see them online. I see this persona online and I'm like, I want you on this show. Like, I want to talk to you. And then you always get the sometimes you'll get the, oh, I'm not good on public speaking, or you'll get them on the show and every other word will be a or a like, and you can see everything just going on upstairs. And it's hard to recreate natural. It's hard to recreate that. So you've been doing this for a while. Are there tricks that you've learned? Because we're talking about, we want people to put their authentic selves out there. We want something to resonate with the world and with their audience. So are there tricks that you've learned to kind of help 100%. People get through that?
Yeah. First is relaxation. Relaxation breeds concentration, which frees the imagination. So you gotta be relaxed. Even as taking a few breaths, calming down, even if we say, hey, look, just take 2 minutes, take some water, breath, you know, breathe again and go back. But you know what? Sometimes I even have to pull some tricks, man. I have to do the old, we're not recording, don't worry. Let's turn it off. I actually had to do that because I find experts are so good at their content. They know what they're talking about. But as soon as, you know, we have cameras on us, they just, something, it freezes. And I do acting as well. And I get it too. It's I'm not saying something easy to do, but yes. So even the trick where I just say, look, we're not filming, just speak from the heart. And just getting them back to their content. It's okay, what is it that you want to show? What is that content that you're passionate about? Because when we start to speak about things that we're passionate about, that is when the true authentic self shines. So it's getting people back to that passion.
Yeah, and you had mentioned before and plenty of times on your site that a lot of these films that you help people create are created for social change. Is this something you've had in you? When you talk about social change, you know, we all can say it. We all can say, oh, I want to do something about, you know, the melting ice caps, or I want to do something about social injustice and I want to do this and that. But at the end of the day, we just go on with our lives. So is this been ingrained in you from the beginning? Like, why? Because this is you actually doing something. You're helping people put their message out there for social change. Has this been a part of you your whole life?
I don't know. The deep answer is probably somewhere in my spirit, maybe. But no, I was, you should have seen me in high school, and I was not that social change guy. I was causing trouble more than wanting to change it. But I think at 26, I got really into personal development, started working on myself to turn inward, to say, why am I here? What am I here for? Really started to analyze my life, my purpose. Because, you know, at the end of the day, man, whether we like it or not, our time here is limited. We're going to go at some point. We'd love to live forever. We're going to go, how do you want to impact the world when you're here? And that just kept messing with my brain, you know? And then you go on a deeper level. I don't know. I believe in karma, and I feel like what you put out, you get back. You know, I don't think we're here to live for our selfish desires. If it was true, I would be downstairs at the bar getting drunk every day. But we're not. We're here to do something for ourselves and for humanity. That's what we're born for. We were created by the Creator to create things to make a better world for ourselves and our fellow people. And I feel like when you do that, that's ultimate fulfillment, more than any drug or anything can give you, you know? So don't worry, I indulge, But I also know in the back of my mind, what's my deeper purpose for being here? Because at the end of the day, our time is up, you know?
I love that answer, and you know I can't just leave it at that, because you were very specific on that time frame. You said around 26, and yes. You know, I'm sure, and I love having these conversations, because I'm sure someone listening has their quote unquote 26 moment right now that you had. Mm-hmm. Like, what was that time in your life like? What was the paradigm shift for you? What made you say, oh, I have to start living for others, or living with a purpose, or living with intent? Yeah.
Well, you just said it. I mean, paradigm shift. So I got really into the movie The Secret. It really touched me. When I was working my corporate job, I picked up Tony Robbins' book, Awaken the Giant, which is the start of it. Then I got really into The Secret. And then I had an opportunity to study with the man from The Secret, Bob Proctor. And I was saving for a house and for a car. And it was 7 days intensive where you get to go to his house. It's really intense. I was saving for a car, saving for a house. This thing was expensive, course. Something inside of me just said, jump. I was like, all right, I just jumped. And it was just amazing. Like, I got to spend 7 days intensive with him and his material. And I got at 26. It was, wow, it just blew my mind. And you know how a rocket ship initially needs a whole bunch of fuel to get up in the air? But then once it's up, it can coast. I feel like that was my rocket fuel that I needed to then propel me on. Doing multiple other personal growth courses, following my passion I wanted to do of acting and being on TV, but I never had the confidence, never had the self-image to do it, was always told to go to school, and then just started to awaken, like, wow, we can do more than what we think we can do, and then just went from there. So then, you know, I've been on the show Suits, you know, with Meghan Markle. I was on that show, done, like, commercials. And then from there, like, it just kept going. It's just amazing. So I go, imagine, Mark, if I didn't open that door, though. Imagine if it just remained closed. And I said, I'm just going to work up my corporate job. What would happen? I wouldn't have had all of these amazing experiences that life can give to you right now if you say yes and you show up and you just keep going forward and opening doors for yourself.
And I, first of all, perfect analogy. Perfect analogy with the rocket fuel and the boosters and getting it in. I mean, it, and let's be honest, like, that first step is always the hardest one. It's always the one that takes the most energy out of us. And then a lot of the time we get a few days into, a few months into, and we're like, why didn't I do this early? Like, this, I put all this pressure on myself. But we all need that one little spark. We all need that one little, whatever you want to call it, rocket fuel, rocket boosters, whatever it is, to get us going. So, so you get into this space, you make this paradigm shift, and you go through this great course, and you start thinking about all the things you can do. And a lot of people will, of course, change jobs. A lot of people will finally start living for, you know, their family or for the ones around them, whatever you want to call it. But you had bigger goals. Like, you wanted to get your message out to the masses. So writing a book, writing two books, writing three books, like, I'm going to ask why, not in the facetious or, like, mean way, but why? Why go to the, I mean, that is such an interesting thing to do, because it takes time, it takes, you know, effort, it takes an idea, it takes rewrites, it takes editors, it takes people marketing, it takes all this stuff. But you said, I want to be an author. Why do that? What was that process like?
Well, I mean, for that, I was blessed to meet somebody who was teaching people how to write books, and kind of, you know, I jumped
in. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. I love that answer.
I believe in mentors to take you to the next levels. I believe in mentorship at the time. So I was able to, you know, follow the track of other people and things like that. I think but the reason I want to do it, I think it was just legacy, man. You know, it's kind of weird, because when I look back at it now, it's like, you know, people say, I remember this one lady's like, well, why do you care about legacy? You won't be here. I'm like, that's true. But I'm like, I don't know. I just like the fact that we're still reading and doing things. And the people have been long gone. Like, that mark is the power of your mind. Think about this. That's the power of an idea and your imagination. It is so big that it can outlive the mind that created it. That's how powerful an idea is, Mark. That's why we're still driving Ford cars today, and he's been gone forever. We're still visiting Disneyland. And that's what's so powerful, Mark.
You're absolutely right. I it's funny. I think about that too. And I think about legacy and you know, leaving a positive impression on this world, and something that, you know, at this, you know, if we're all lucky, our kids will outlive us. If we're all lucky, that's what's going to happen. And for my kids to be able to say that was my dad, you know, for my friends to say that was, I knew him. So that's,
or just for yourself to honor that, like, we weren't created. Like, think about it, right? Whoever created us, I'm not going into religion, but whoever created us, we want to show it the beauty of its creation. Like, you know what I mean? And so, you know, it's beliefs, right? You know, some people believe some things. That's why they take certain actions and live a certain way. Other people have different beliefs, and that's why they go on a different route. So it's all on the conditioning.
I'm an energy person, energy in, energy out, that I totally get that. So let's kind of segue a little, not segue, that's not the word. I want to kind of pivot a little bit to Face Everything and Rise. So that is your film, Fear. Tell me about that journey you went on to make that film and what that film means to you.
Yeah, it's very special because it's really my first reel. We did Break Free, which was a great film, but this is my first one where I was actually telling my story, what I wanted to do with the Rising Star movie experience, and it touched somebody's heart. And it's about this lady, Annie Koshy. As she goes through the trials and tribulations of her life, she gets into a bad marriage, coming in from a different country, facing cultural barriers, and her having to strive through that. And shout out to her to have the courage to actually tell her story on camera. But when she said, hey, I want to make an autobiographic documentary on my life, we're like, okay, how do we do that? I said, okay, can we interview your husband or your kids or anything like that, get their side? She's like, no, I don't want any mention of my husband or my kids. Right? Okay, so we have to tell a story, but we can't interview the other. Usually when, you know, you got into a marriage, something, they want to hear the other side. It's like, we didn't have that opportunity. So we had to just be really creative. And I think it was shout out to my director of photographer, who was able to bring the emotion out of her. And really, then that's the power of, like, that's when I really learned directing and journalism, to be able to extract the knowledge out of the person, the answers that you need from them. And sometimes it's tough because you have to go places where it's not comfortable, right? To get the person when they're in a really emotional, vulnerable state into where they're crying, but you know that crying is gonna be the one, the footage and the impact that's gonna touch the world the most, is sometimes hard. And we had to do that. And we had a couple of other actors. We had the president of Think and Grow Rich Institute in there, and actually a family member of mine also. And it was three actors. Our budget was low, like really low. But I think we just told an emotion, a story that a lot of women can connect to, kind of, you know, being held back by societal values, cultural values, and then being able to break free of that. I think it must have touched a lot of women's hearts, and it did over 33 awards from film festivals all over the world. Our latest achievement was semi-finalist at Cannes Continental Film Festival. So that was just like, wow. So I guess that's the power of, if you have something positive and you put it out, you know, good things happen, I guess.
I love that, because the medium, when it comes to film, and, you know, TV is a lot like this too, but I think for what I'm thinking of is more like film is you can have a lower budget film that touches people through the acting, through the storytelling, through the production value, versus one that's blown the budget, that is trying too hard to reach people, is trying too many times during the film to, like, make points. And then you get that one film where you notice, oh, there's only three real speaking parts in this, and the writing is amazing, and I really felt something at the end of this film. And I don't want to assume anything, but I really feel like that's a lot of the work that you're doing. You're focusing more on the storyline, the people that are in it, the emotions that we hit, and then, is there something we can gain from that? And that's what I feel like you're doing more of that.
100%. Yeah, definitely on the emotion and the storytelling is 100%. It doesn't. And that's what I learned. You don't need to have a $1 million budget to create award-winning films. You just got to have the story and bring out that emotion. But I mean, we go to see films, Mark, to see ourselves in a way, you know, We go to be inspired, whether it's documentary films, we go to get inspired, we go to learn something. So you got to know that, right? That we go to actually see, when we see other people, we see a part of ourselves. And so if you can have a story that relates to that person, then you're going to connect with them. So yeah, it's really blessed. And I feel like the films at Hermark, what I didn't know, which was like a secondary benefit of me doing these films, it's actually been a healing process for her. A healing, because she's been able to get something out that she has kept bottled in for years. And she's now been able to share her story. And all of the people that go, wow, Annie, I can't believe you had the courage to do that. Her visibility, credibility, her confident courage, everything just went up. So it's been a multifaceted effect from doing the film. So it's been amazing.
That's one of the greatest things when you think about it is we whatever we do in life, whether it's film, whether it's make this show, whatever it is we all have this thought in our head of what we want to get out of it or when we put it in it or what we see it doing. But then when we hear all these secondary and one-off things that are happening, and the things that, okay, I feel like I made a really good film. Oh, she's healed. She's healed because of this film. Or someone else saw it and they were able to make the proper, like, that's got to feel really good.
It's a blessing. Again, like, you're doing this podcast, somebody may hear it or may hear us today that may take a different action. And we may not even get to meet them, and that's cool. You know, we're just doing our ripple. We're just making our ripple.
I like that. I love that. I love that because there's a ripple effect to everything in life. I think that's that, you know, again, what you put into something, the positive emotions, the effect, the energy you put into it, I think you're going to see it. I mean, I don't think you're going to see it all the time, but it's going to be felt by someone. Someone will feel it. And someone will get that emotion or get out of it what they needed. So, you know, what's next? Like, what do you have on the radar? What do you have in your future? What are you looking to do with all this?
I'm so glad you asked, Mark. That is a phenomenal question. What I have next, okay, so I'm just trying to, I'm always, like me, Manny Baines just tries to push the envelope a bit. I'm always trying to push. So right now, I have a big goal, okay? My goal is to inspire global healing across the world. So what I've done is I'm launching a new film this summer. It's a health and wellness documentary film. Tentative title is called The Cure, where I have 10 practitioners in different areas of the health and wellness field all speaking towards how people can heal themselves and have better health using natural and preventative methods. I've got experts from around the world, and they're all coming together to share their message, and they're going to co-create together. We're going to put into a high, powerful documentary film, and we're just going to bring it to the world to create global change, global healing across the world. That's what I have planned next, Mark.
I cannot wait for that, because if you've listened to this show, if you listen to 6 a.m., you've known that a large portion of the journey that I've been on lately in regard to fitness or healing or wellness or whatever you want to call it, mental fortitude, has been from a place of being proactive with my health. It's been a place of being preventative with my health. It's been a place of taking care of future Mark by doing things, you know, right now. Listen, I will never get on this show and I will never bash any type of medical profession, but listen, I've had a couple surgeries in my life, and thank goodness, you know, doctors were able to do them and the birth of my daughter. But at the same time, I think a lot of us can learn from a natural, holistic approach that talks about how we sleep, what we eat, you know, how we move our bodies. And also just having a conversation. Like, if you would have told me, I have this one, you know, doctor is going to come in and but you said 10, you said around the world, you said it's collaborative. And I love that. What was the brainchild of that? What made you, it's a great idea. I think it's going to be a wonderful topic and subject in film, but what made you think of that?
Yeah, that's a great question again, Mark. You're a fantastic podcast host. You're asking amazing questions. Yeah, I think it was just again, like, I like to do films that touch on big topics. I don't want to do films on like boring small topics. I want to do it on big topics, risque, a little bit, pushing the envelope a bit. And I go, yeah, you know, what's the next topic I was doing? Just thinking, okay, COVID, all this stuff happened. Okay, bam, let's talk about health. It's a huge issue. It's such a big topic. It's misunderstood. Most people don't know. So I said, let's do this. And it's been a 2-year grind, actually, just trying to even get everybody for that film. I learned a lot on the way in terms of connecting, being able to market, communication, all that. I could do a whole course on that just from being able to reach out to these practitioners that have degrees or smarter than me, anything like that. But yeah, I just said, look, I want to look at the natural and preventative method of health. Got nothing against the traditional system. It's there. But I think if we want to live longevity, and why not? Why wait to be sick? Why not keep ourselves, you know, healthy? You know that. So I just said, yeah, I started approaching practitioners. You know, my mom actually healed herself from diabetes using natural and holistic methods. So just started to reach out to practitioners and met some really powerful people, Mark, that are just, they're not seen, like nobody knows them because they're just doing their thing, you know, and they're not in your MD's office. We have one MD, but they're just making huge changes in the world, like more than me, honestly. And I go, wow, I want to put these people in a film and just educate and inspire the world. And yeah, it was amazing. I've got doctors from Canada, US, Europe, all coming in to speak on how people can heal themselves through natural holistic methods. And it's just amazing. You know, it's been a journey. We did a lot of filming and we're actually still in the editing process. I have about, we did about 35 hours of content that I have to put into a 90-minute film. Fun part, my director of photography is like, we have so much footage. How can this be a 90-minute film? And like, we'll find a way. So yeah, it's been a great journey. So I'm excited for that one, really.
But I would assume that that's a good issue or problem to have when you're a filmmaker. Like, it's when you're trying to like make, you know, something out of nothing. It's like, we only have 90 minutes to make a 90-minute film. And it's like, oh, we got to make everything look good. So I would assume that's a good problem to have.
Yes and no, because everybody said such good content. Oh. You're like, I don't want to take any of this out. But, you know, you gotta adhere to your you know, minute, your limit and things like that. But yeah, it's definitely been a great experience. And I learned so much from these people and learned so much. It's been a blessing, Mark.
And you know what, I feel the excitement, I feel the energy when you talk about your process and your art form. And I have to ask, from the beginning of all this, from the first documentary or movie you made or film you made to the process now, like what have you learned about yourself through all this?
Oh, that's a great question. What did I learn about myself? I mean, I think it's just, again, noticing that we're spiritual beings and we have the power to create whatever we want. It's just this that limits us. We have to challenge some of those deep-held beliefs and thought patterns that have been ingrained in us since we're 0 to 7. And you got to battle against that because that is stopping you from living your best life. It's the greater life. Even if you were to change it 0.5%, we're not asking you to do a whole shift and change every single habit. We're not asking that. We're just asking you to make a minuscule change. And that one minuscule change, 5-degree turn in your life going forward, looking back in 6 months, well, you'll need a telescope, right? So it's just analyzing, what are some of those deep held beliefs that I have? And are they serving me? And if not, can I change them? Or what different things I can do? If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to get the same results, right? You know that, Mark. So it's just pushing slowly the limits of what you can accomplish. And I know it may be uncomfortable, but just take any step, just inch forward, do something different every day, and trust me, it'll make a big difference in the years to come.
So I am absolutely correct, and I want you to help the audience right now, because what you're talking about is, let's be honest, like, it's easier said than done for a lot of us. A lot of us need that rocket fuel moment. They need that moment that you had. Someone's listening right now and they're kind of stuck in the mud. They can feel their legs moving, but it's like, it's just like, they don't want to lose the shoe. Like, it's like, I gotta stick with this shoe. I don't want to lose it in the mud. And it's that shoe is keeping them in the mud. They should be moving forward. So what are some just ideas or things you can tell the audience for that little push forward? Like, And it doesn't have to be, you know, specific, tangible, or anything like that. But what are some kind of mindset changes? Because you mentioned it, and this is absolutely correct. The limits we put on ourselves are all up here. They're all up there. But what are some little things that helped you that maybe can help the audience just make that little 5-degree turn?
Well, the first one, it's amazing that I think we can all do, but we forget. We forget how sometimes lucky we have our lives compared to other people. We're lucky we get to do this podcast. I'm in a condo with heat, water, right? So the first thing y'all can do is do a gratitude list of 10 things that you're grateful for. That is my, see if I can say that's helped me in my life a lot. Just flipping the switch, right? Because it's so easy for us to get caught up in everything we don't have. We scroll social media and we compare ourselves to others. Just write 10 things that you're grateful for. Like literally, there's probably 50 things right now, but start with 10. That's going to shift your vibration and change you from a lack mindset to a one of abundance and just feeling grateful, and it puts you in a different feeling. So that's the first thing. Anybody can do that, okay? That's the first thing. Get into the habit of doing that. Next, I would say write down, because I feel like we all, Mark, you help me out with this. We all see things in our mind. Like we see pictures maybe and visions. These things pop up. So what things are popping up in your mind that you want to accomplish? Whoever's listening right now, you have something that you want to accomplish. I don't care what it is. Maybe it's to go to the gym tomorrow or, you know, drink more water. Whatever it is, get it out of your head and write it down, because we all have visions. And what that is, that's the universe, our soul is speaking for us. Our soul is for fuller expansion and more expression. We're forever trying to express who we are, right? And that's part of why you're created. So whatever visions you have, just write them down. And that's a good start, and start to look at it every day. And the mind is an amazing tool. You will slowly start to find ways. Whatever you focus on, energy goes to, and you will start to come up with, hey, oh, I could do this action, or I could do this idea, or I could do this, or maybe I should go to this event. And the way will be shown, and just enjoy the journey. That's it.
I had a good friend tell me once that once you write it down, you're putting it into the universe. And that kind of jump starts your action. Like once it's up here, like only you know it. No one knows it. Like it's, and you have that ability to kind of protect yourself because no one knows. The universe doesn't know I have these dreams. But once you write that down and you see it, it becomes tangible and it becomes out in the universe. So you could have gone anywhere with those two things, but I think the simplest answers are literally the best ones because they're actionable, they're doable, they're tangible. Like, you're absolutely right. We get stuck in these woe is me type moments. And I don't mean that in a shaming type of way. Like, we all go through things, but we get stuck. And then it's like, well, wait a second. I have heat. I have the ability to go buy food. I have this roof over my head. There are people in this world that are doing a lot more with less, and I'm here in this dark cloud. And listen, I understand mental health affects people differently. And if I'm telling you this and you feel this way, like, please talk to somebody, please get the help you deserve. But at the same time, just try writing it down. Try being, you know, you mentioned being uncomfortable. And I always see comfortability as a pause in my life. Once I get uncomfortable, that means I'm making progress. And I think a lot of people, we love, don't get me wrong, like being nice and warm and snuggled, yeah, it's great. But that means you're not moving. So, and I can imagine like the first time you made a film, first time you put words to paper, like that's uncomfortable, but you got yourself through it.
Yeah, reaching out to these practitioners for the films was uncomfortable, man. I had to reach out to them and, you know, and do my thing and sales pay, all that stuff. And the first market was so uncomfortable. I sucked. I was fumbling over my words. I thought I was good, high and mighty. You should see my first 20 meetings. I fumbled. I got people respond. But I just got better and I just stayed with it. And it's amazing when you just stick with something long enough. I think the universe just says, by God, he's not going to stop. I'll just give it to him. No, that's seriously a hack of the universe. You just got to keep hacking. Eventually it goes, shit, he's not going to give up. Just give it to him, man. But most people quit after 5 or 10. You know, Thomas Edison failed 10,000 times trying to create the incandescent light bulb. right? Imagine if you stopped at 9,000. We wouldn't have lightweight, right? So it's having that goal, that purpose, and, you know, sticking with it. But I like what you said about simplicity. Guys, if something is complicated, this is what I learned from my coach. If something is complicated, it contains a lie. You should be able to explain things simply. Yeah, if something is complicated, it means it contains a lie. Remember that. You should be able to explain and do understand things in a simple way.
I totally 1,000% agree with that. And I love the fact that you talked about those first few conversations. And you know, I see that as the learning curve. And my girls say it all the time when I come to them, and you know, one of them say, I'm so bad at fractions, or I'm so bad at math. It's like, you're inexperienced. There's a big difference. Huge difference. Don't say you're bad at something that you just started. Yeah. Like, that is so unfair to yourself. I'm so bad at soccer. Honey, you just started playing. Like, I don't name one person on your team that is, like, perfect at soccer right now at 8 years old. Like, who are you comparing yourself to? So, this has been absolutely amazing. Manny, please tell people how they can get in contact with you, how they find you online, how they watch some of your films. Please spill the beans. Let them know how they can see all this.
First of all, get a hold of Mark, because he's an amazing guy and he'll connect you with me. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just find me on Facebook, Manny Baines. You know, Instagram, Mayor Manny Inspire 03. My website is risingstarmovies.com. Google me. You know, get in touch with me if you have any questions, anything. Happy to help you out. And yeah, I mean, my films will be coming soon, so watch out for the movie The Cure. And spoiler alert, my film after that is going to be on mental health, but that's down the road. I've already started planning for that. But let's focus on the health and wellness.
Always moving forward, man. You always got something going on upstairs. I love that. So, like I tell people all the time, you can stop the show right now and head over to the show notes to see the website and check him out. IG, Facebook. Manny, this has been amazing. Congratulations on everything you've done so far. And I'm looking forward to the film this summer, The Cure. And please keep me updated, because I'd love to share that with the masses for you also. So thank you so much, sir. You have a great rest of your night, okay?
You too. Take care, everyone. God bless. Take care. Much love.
A huge thank you to award-winning film director and author Manny Baines for stopping by the show to drop a lot of knowledge and just give us some inspiration, talk about leaving legacies, and just being that rocket fuel for yourself. As always, Relatively Normal is written, produced, and edited by me, Mark Payzant. If you or someone you know is in crisis, please contact the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by dialing 988. Or text HOME to 741-741 to reach a trained crisis counselor through Crisis Text Line, a global not-for-profit organization. It is free, it is confidential, and it is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Take care of yourself.